Hey everybody, I'm recording this in the room atop my garage for a fellow named Greg, who's currently en route from Minneapolis to North Dakota with a bottle of very precious cargo, apparently. We'll get to that. It's just a few degrees warmer in here than my farm's walk-in cooler. So I'm sitting here with my Carhartt jacket on and Stormy Cromer hat. My typewriter is waiting over there in the wings on the desk. I'm going to continue on this very silly, absurd book that I'm writing that is going to help dozens of people. It's so funny to me. I'll get to that in a second. But anyway, this Greg fella is somebody I've never met, probably never will. He's a friend of a friend. And he's carrying a single bottle of liquor, some kind of alcohol for apparently a high roller in North Dakota. Must be extremely valuable. It was just the task his boss gave him to do. And I don't know. I just wanted to contribute 8 to 10 minutes to his drive. I may as well. It has been an interesting road since I last put out a mediocre podcast, basically releasing my book. Oh, it's finally warm enough I can remove my hat. I was rather depressed. This book is not grabbing hold in a way I would prefer. I've sold somewhere between 56 and 100 copies. I don't even know. I don't want to know because it is so discouraging. I mean, it is insane. I worked for years on that thing. And more importantly, I lived through that thing. I mean, to write it, I had to live it. And it's just blood, sweat, and tears to create this life. And anyhow, long story short, I have been hearing in different ways from different people a lot of angst and highfalutin language and way too much over-intellectualizing, overthinking. I know I'm saying the same thing. I'm not quite grabbing at it, but who cares? You get the general idea. A lot of overthinking about interacting with culture and then seeing people at the same time, other people being discouraged by how little impact they're having. And I just have this feeling that it comes from this addiction to social media where people think their opinions on highly divisive issues matter and that somehow they are going to move the needle on three or four of the nation's most divisive issues, the world's most divisive issues, issues that even the president of the United States, just go down through history, decades. All right, I'm talking in the grand sweep of history. Presidents are not able to move the needle on these issues. At best, they're able to mobilize their base, essentially preach to their choir and get them to come out and vote, essentially. But very rarely are minds changed on a lot of these things. And I'm not saying they're not important, but what I am saying is that we, instead of getting mired in all that crap, we can be faithful with the very limited sphere of influence we've been given. And I think I'm talking to myself. Maybe this is for me. There are, you know, I've got This is absurd, but it's true. I've got three reviews on my Amazon page for Lit Up, my book, my second book. By this point, I had probably three dozen reviews for the first book. And yet, all three people that left reviews were very touched, impacted on a very deep level. And you know, honestly, like what more can a guy ask for? Okay, a guy can ask for thousands to sell. Yes, I know. But whatever. I can't I there's nothing I can do about that. And here's the thing, and here's the thing that's just hilarious to me. I've been on the television news with the book. I'm not the best speaker, which is why this podcast is a total failure. In fact, I think this podcast has probably convinced a handful of people to not buy my book. And I'm not joking. I think it's hilarious. And I think it's also, it could make me weep at the same time. It's just, whatever, I got sidetracked. So I've been on the TV news. I think I sold, and I, you know, yes, I go and look at the stats after these things. I think I sold two books that day. I mailed one to the newspaper. They put it in the paper, just at the bottom of this, like, best bets around town, I think. It's something like that in the arts and entertainment section. It's like a once a week thing. I mean, I think it was, you know, I didn't actually see the hard copy of the paper, okay? But online, at least, there was a picture of the book, and the journalist like took a picture of it, holding it in his hand with Lake Superior in the background. He seemed to have been charmed by. I sent him a nice little typed up letter on my typewriter. briefly outlining what it's about, why it's valuable for certain people, whatever, you know, whatever, sort of a press release. But it was a sort of a press release like he's never received because nobody sends a hand typed letter with a single misspelling in it, which there was. The anyway, that day I believe I sold one book, which is hilarious to me because I mailed him the book. So essentially, so I probably lost, you know, the $4 in shipping the book to the guy. And you know, whatever. There is this, there's just basically as a schmuck author like me, at local like peon level, I mean frickin' peon level, there is this feeling of it just doesn't matter. Like there's, it is so hard to punch through to get people to take notice and to give it a try. And that's just the way it is. There's nothing I can do about it, you know. So I find that the marketing is so soul sucking. It will send me into a depression. It has sent me into a depression. so fast, because even when there's a victory, like I said, it's sort of like 1 to 1, you know what I mean? Like mail them a book, maybe sell a book. Anyway, so I've realized that, like, you know, you probably need to focus on your farm business, Eddie. And so like today I'm between harvests. That was a direct consequence of that realization. So I added an every other week Tuesday top up harvest because this time of year the co-op sells out of my microgreens real fast, and I need to stay up on top. So I delivered them a whole bunch yesterday to give some rolling stock, so that tomorrow's load, you know, it can sit there as ba some of it'll be back stock to get through the week, you know, all of next week. And you know, by doing by just focusing more on my business, I can probably, you know, sell $100 more of microgreens without doing any marketing at all. No marketing, just being more attentive to the business. and yeah, just more attentive. Whereas last year, I did kind of let things go on autopilot a bit, and sales dipped by about, oh, 15, 20%, something like that. Largely, some of it was some restaurant turnover, but some of it was just because I was focused on my book. So, anyway, all that to say, rather than spending 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 hours to maybe, get some notice and sell one or two books and make $5 or $10, that is not an exaggeration. Like, for example, I need to send a check out for $450 to my graphic designer, who my wife painted the image. All right, so that's not graphic design, but it's incredible. These sorts of things, you need a designer to put the words on your cover and also do your the internal of your book. And she was worth her weight in gold. But anyway, I need to sell like 100 books for that. Good luck. Anyway, so this is what I've been wrestling with for the last 2 months since you last heard from me. Not you, Greg. The rest of the 19 people that'll listen to this. So, what does a guy do with that? Well, for one thing, I can focus on my farm. That moves the needle. But another thing, it's like I'm 100% farmer and 100% writer and 100% booster of my wife's art. Who, by the way, she just, oh man, she painted a painting called Monday Morning Commute. It's pretty cool. I mean, the guy's like hoisting all this weight over his head as he tightropes through the tight wall tightrope walks through the clouds. Anyway, whatever. But rewinding to the main point, I can just focus on being faithful with what I've been given, with my very, very, very small sphere of influence. And yeah, I've got like whatever, 1,500 followers on my farm's Instagram page, Tiny Farm Duluth. But almost none of those people are gonna go out and like buy my book. It's just reality. I can't fight it. There's too many books in the world, and I'm throwing one more on the pile. It's just the way it is. But I can still just be faithful with this very small audience, and like I'm more of a writer than a podcaster. I've given up the idea of having a reasonably successful podcast. This is more of just a fun little outlet. But I'm a good writer. I think I'm a darn good writer, and that's not a bragging thing. I notice things that other people don't, and writing is my way of putting that out there. It's just a very unique. I've got like a crazy life experience that's given me a different eye than the average bear, and I have the privilege of writing books, and now I'm doing it by typewriter instead of on the computer, which brings me a heck of a lot of joy. Yeah, so whatever. So I'm just going to be faithful with the small audience that I have. I'm going to keep doing it, but yeah, I'm not going to spend 8 years on one because I'm seeing, okay, that's never going to pencil out no matter what you do. Let's just pump them out. They can be imperfect. And let's move on. Quantity leads to quality. And how does this relate to Greg? Oh yeah, so Greg's carrying this. I can't imagine how much this bottle of liquor is worth. Speaking of that, I've got the opposite here. My friend Brandon, our mutual friend, gave me a six pack. It's my last bottle of Panther Piss, which is a southern, kind of an old time southern term for high octane hooch, like this mead is that he made. And it actually, yeah, I'm, yeah, okay. It's like a late lunch, and I'm sitting out here with that. Don't judge me. Because there's nothing to eat in the house. There's this and like a bag of steak strips. What do you call it? Beef jerky. And I got a little bit of wheat thins. I need to go to the grocery store, but I just refuse to go in the middle of the day during this. Like, I'm only productive when the sun is shining, and so I need to just go as it's setting. It's just the way it is. Anyway, so I'm just thinking about Greg. He's got this absurd job today. And I think it's cool. I think it's cool to just be faithful, no matter how, like, his audience is one person. So he can bring that bottle with a smile on his face, not begrudging. Obviously, his boss was compensated in some way. And whatever, he can hand it over to the guy with a smile on his face, and that fellow or gal will probably invite him in for a quick bite to eat. He can accept. He can sit there and just get to know, like, what kind of person would spend that kind of money on a single bottle of alcohol? Like, what is so special about this? And not be a judgmental, though that can, obviously that brings up a lot of questions. But just merely listen and just smile, because it's probably the only time in his whole life he'll do anything like that. It's weird and it's interesting. And sometimes that's what we've been given to do, is something as small as that for one person. Or, I'm thinking about these people who are, okay, so I do go on Facebook sometimes because I have a business. And this old friend from college had tweeted this, or whatever you call it, whatever. She wrote this tiny little post, obviously a little discouraged. Sometimes it doesn't seem like our efforts matter. Well, sure, they don't matter if, like, what we're trying to do is, we're skipping stones into Lake Superior, hoping that the lake will rise appreciably from our efforts. If that's our goal. But if all we've been given to do is to deliver one bottle to one human, let's do it well. Let's do it really well. And I've been planted here with my wife in our neighborhood. We've got I don't know, a half dozen to a dozen neighbors that we're between close to, relatively close to. Some dozens of people will be touched by my book in a deep way. Let's focus on serving those people well and loving those people. And instead of, like, getting super worked up about every controversial issue in the world, maybe we can just, there's so much in, so, like, one of the things this last book is about is, like, I was so surprised, actually. Like, there's so much in our local culture that is just wholesome and edible, even. Like, for instance, strawberries. I know that sounds absurd, but whatever, read the book. There is so much that is apolitical, that is just something we can all agree on is good and beautiful and pure and wonderful and marvelous. Let's just enjoy what our culture is producing that we can all just enjoy. And then let's produce something back in conversation. Let's produce something instead of whining and shooting out Facebook missives, 10 times a day, thinking that's doing something in this world, which it's not. It's actually creating harm. Maybe by just delivering this one bottle of liquor, you're blessing somebody in a tangible way far more than all the angst that went into those 10 Facebook posts, and then the obsession over the comments and how many people saw it, liked it, etc. And it's like that with my book. And what's funny, okay, so I'm getting out of this depression. This is crazy, okay? Like, 6 years ago, almost 6 years ago, I wrote this blog post about, it's like embarrassing to even talk about it, but whatever. about minimalist accounting. Not one person listening to this is going to care. Anyway, it's so okay, after a couple years of struggling, because like our family, we have three businesses: the urban farm, my wife's art, which my wife's art is serious. Like, she's going to be doing our the art. She's the artist for our city's main event. All right, so if you know Duluth, Minnesota, there's a main event in June, and this year she's going to be the featured artist. That's just one thing she's doing to contribute, and she's not the focus. All right, the event is the focus. She's just kind of off to the side, contributing to the conversation. And crap, I derailed myself. Spinning my wheels. I'm not using my usual thing where I can pause it. Apologies, Greg. I'm really sorry. I can feel you've got a rest area coming up. You're gonna need to pull over. Okay. Think, Eddie. Oh yeah, three businesses. Okay, that and the writing. Okay, so art, farm, and writing. All of them, three separate things. And I had been using, a QuickBooks-like thing. I don't remember what I was using. And it became incredibly overwhelming, and it was a disaster. And I learned to use just a manual ledger, just writing in a book. It's basically a spreadsheet, but it's you just use pencil and paper, on this in this ledger. Whatever. I wrote about it, just saying how wonderful it was, and bringing it with me to the coffee shop, and crap like that. One less thing, reason to be on your phone, etc. Whatever. It was like my number one post last year. Huge amount of people. People go to it every day. I typed it in the Google like a week or two ago, minimalist accounting, and it was like the number two post. And the one that was ahead of it had minimalist accounting, like, or minimalist in like their business site, and it was the most boring, soulless post there was. Anyway, so all that to say, there's clearly a demand for this. I mean, and this is only for like a small solopreneur like me, right? Like our farm will be, like $40,000 gross in a year kind of thing. And expenses are manageable. I don't have any employees, so whatever. This works for people like me. And so folks that fit that description respond, and they're asking for an ebook. I get like once a week I'm getting an email from these people. Have you written an ebook yet? So I'm doing it. And I plan on just doing this thing in like 2 weeks, publishing it on Amazon just as an ebook for $2.99. It's not for the money. It's not going to be much money at all, but it's of use to, let's just say, 100 people total over the next year. I don't know. Who knows? This is like I actually don't have any expectations for this one, whereas I clearly did for the other one, or I wouldn't be as depressed as I was about it. Anyway, so instead of wallowing in my depression, I'm serving these people who are like me, and I'm just essentially, and so I'm going to call it like the joy of minimalist accounting. I know, doesn't that sound boring? It's not. It's actually hilarious. It's really good. I've got some great stuff in it, and it's not soulless. I'm not an accountant, and it's not just about tactics, 'cause it's really freaking simple. Like the government expects us to keep track of how much money we're taking in and how much we're spending on expenses. It's as simple as that. And it's more just like encouraging people to be free and don't be such a wuss. Don't be afraid. Just go, just do it and learn as you go. And a lot of these people feel liberated, and I'm serving a very small audience. And what more can you ask for? So that's the point for engaging with culture. If you want to engage with culture, instead of, maybe let's put a pin in these three or four divisive, like, you're not going to fix it. You're not going to fix these issues. At least this year, maybe put a pin in that. Consume a little bit of local culture. Okay, that's wholesome. That's awesome. That is the sort of stuff that everybody can get behind. It can be your local farmer, it can be a local musician, writer, etc. Okay, so you're consuming, but you're also producing, making something, producing something of value, bringing it to them. Like Greg with this one bottle of alcohol, bringing it to them. Brandon gave me this panther piss, right? I put it in all this ice, let it sit there a little bit. It's not so strong, and I can just sip on it while I'm at the typewriter. It's contributing to my life. Obviously, my book. More than that, it's even like my the microgreens. Every week I'm delivering, about 200 of these clamshells around the city, and it's not the focus of anybody's meal. It's just off to the side, and it's enhancing what's already there. It's enhancing their steak, their hamburger, their salad. It's just bringing some joy to their life. It's making the vegetables more palatable to the kids. All these sorts of things. It's bringing nutrition, but it's not the focus. Very few of us are gonna be the frickin' focus. That's just the truth. And the sooner we get over the fact that we're not the focus of the world's attention, maybe we're not capable of selling 1,000+ books, let alone a million, like my friend Leif, crazy. Well, the sooner we just accept that, the better. We can still serve the 50 people, the 100 people who are gonna consume our work. We can just serve them to the best of our ability, and that's in the small things, like every day in everything you do. Like this sounds absurd, okay? But like in my grow room, south facing, all these windows, floor to ceiling glass practically, and all these microgreens on racks, okay? Anyway, next to the, I've got a record player in there. And next to it, I had like four or five records just sort of leaned up beside it for some reason. All right. I was like, oh, I should put those away. I pick them up, put them away. And there's some dust bunnies behind these freaking records. You can't have dust bunnies blowing around in your grow room. So before I sanitized the trays, I went and I took the vacuum and I vacuumed the whole place out. And then I dip the trays in their like sanitizing solution, and that gets a little water everywhere, so it's wet and whatever. It just brought me so much joy to get those two or three dust bunnies out of there that had no business being in there. It's those details that matter. And that's serving the people. So there you go. Instead of having angst, let's just enjoy the culture that can be enjoyed, recognizing that we are part of the culture. And then let's also bring them what we've got, whatever it is, even if it's just a single bottle. All right? All right. I'm gonna get to it. I think I'm on. I wanted to hold on here. Yeah, it's gonna be chapter 9 in the book. I just want you to hear the typewriter. There you go. Chapter 9. Woo! All right, adios. Okay, here's a crazy extra thing I wanted to tack on at the end here. My neighbor is working. My neighbor has one of these overhead garage door guys working on his garage. Been over there. He was there like shortly before I recorded the episode 2 hours ago. He's just finishing up. And while he's finishing, I told him that I needed a garage door opener because when I had the other van crushed, this other van that I had traded essentially for vegetables. All right. It was like a 300,000 mile. Dodge Caravan from the year 2000. And anyway, on one of these cold winters, I had it crushed and I accidentally had the garage door opener crushed with it, right? One of those $150 to give the car to them kind of things. And anyway, this overhead garage door guy just happens to be there working, and I tell him I need one of these things, and he comes over. And he happens to have one, and he programs it to my thing. And instead of paying $162, I paid $62. And I don't know. I happen to have $64 because that's what my food truck guy gave me yesterday for his double size delivery. The food truck is a, it's a smaller thing, especially in the winter, but I had the money, I had cash. And I got it, and now I can put this in my van, and when I do deliveries, I can just hit a button, and the garage door will magically open instead of me having to like walk around through my my clumsy gate and then push the button. And it's going to be awesome to load up my 8 coolers out of the walk-in cooler once or twice a week. I'm just very grateful, and that is contributing to culture. Like, he has improved my life just by doing his job, and it just makes me so grateful. I waited like 2 years for this, and he just came along, and he's just there. So there, it relates. So just do your job, darn it, and you're blessing people in and through it.